You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't bug the Spirit. Don't put down the Spirit. Don't write off the witness of God's Spirit.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, your word goes out to the whole world in the work of your Son Jesus to atone for the sins of the world. Make us sons and daughters in your family by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Speak to our world through the faithful and powerful witness of your word, spoken in your name by your sons and daughters, and empower them with your Holy Spirit. Make the promise of your Son come true. You will be my witnesses. Amen. The day had come, the one Jesus spoke about when he said to his disciples, "In the last few minutes before the cloud received him, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." It was a great day, a great new beginning, the start of a new era. It was accompanied by little flames like split tongues of fire. A great wind blew and filled all the place where they were sitting. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, tongues people could understand as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was then that Peter stood up and preached the first Christian sermon. He began with a quotation from the prophet Joel. "It shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." It's the sign of the Spirit that young men and young women will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. There have always been people in the history of the Christian church who have identified the gift of the Spirit with the ability to speak in tongues. I must say that on this occasion, at least, the tongues were those people had learned to speak when they were young and understood from their mother's knee. "How hear we," they said, "every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Then quite a number of places are mentioned where these tongues were spoken. The people were amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Others said, "These men are out of their minds. They're full of new wine." Actually, the speaking of the Spirit down through the ages has been mostly through sons. Speaking in sons, the Spirit has carried forward the cause of Jesus Christ. It's alive today because sons and daughters still prophesy. Right at the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews, the author said, "God spoke in various ways through his prophets. There were many of them, and they uttered thousands and thousands of words." God spoke to our fathers that way in the Old Testament, full of the words of the prophets. Today, there are thousands and thousands of words. Preachers all over the world mount their pulpits each week. They even get on the radio and appear on TV. Ministers speak millions and millions of words every week, in counseling sessions with people who are troubled for one reason or another. Words, 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 millions of them. There are millions and millions of other words in the world. Some of them are full of hate, and some are deliberately ambiguous. They're meant to deceive, to be believed by people who want to understand them in one way, and also by people who want to understand them in another way. God spoke truthfully in times past, and in various ways to our fathers, by the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken his ultimate word to the world in his Son. It's a great word, the Word made flesh. That's what St. John called it. We beheld his glory, said John, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No longer did God attempt to describe righteousness and justice. He spoke by his Son. His Son was righteousness. And in him the justice of God is exercised and satisfied. No longer did God have to describe his love in words. He loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. No longer did God have to prove the truth of his words. His Son is truth and life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God took into his own heart the reality of our humanity. And he's still among us to touch and to heal, as he was among us to bleed and die and rise again. So no longer can anybody say, promises, promises, words are cheap. There's nothing cheap about him. It must be apparent to everyone that the grace of God is not cheap. The love of God is not cheap. The life of God is not cheap. And the word of God is not cheap. When John the Baptizer was in prison, either he or his disciples had a question about the identity of Jesus. They asked, and he told them. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Now that's prophesied. That's forthtelling. It's forthcoming without pretense or pretension. When he came, he put his actions right where the words of the prophets said they would be. In the synagogue at Nazareth, he put it as plainly as he could. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that's prophesy. That's forthtelling. It's communication, to use a more modern word. There was a time when you had to explain a big word like communication. You don't have to do that anymore. Even small children know it today. Anything you say is communication. It's one of the most important factors of life, and every family knows about it. A pastor who's done a considerable amount of marriage counseling has collected what he calls sayings of lonesome wives. Here are a few of them. One lonesome wife said, "You've heard of the great stone face? Well, I married him." Another said, "All I ever see of my husband at breakfast is a hand reaching for his coffee behind the morning newspaper." Some men may think they are not communicating, but they are. Communication is getting something across, and those men might be surprised at what they are getting across. The greatest communicator of the whole world is God. Who of us can communicate through the grandeur of a mountain or the glory of a sunset? Still, that doesn't get across everything he wants people to know. At times, he communicated through angels. To Mary, he said, "You will be honored above all women. You will become the mother of the Holy One of God." Usually God speaks through human beings, however. An angel stuns or bewilders, but human beings talk our language. They're used to speaking to people and to listening to people. God speaks through people. In various ways, God chose to speak to people in times past through his prophets, who were also people. They were not supermen, they were people. Then he spoke his ultimate word to the world through his Son. And surprise, surprise, he was a man like other men. He became a man. He spoke as a man. He died as a man. It's all so real. That's the way God is. The idea begins to get across, doesn't it? That's prophecy. And that's communication. God has continued to speak through people. It is his promise. Speaking in tongues, especially tongues people can understand, can be dramatic, but speaking in sons is essential and indispensable. It's the sign of the Spirit's presence when sons and daughters prophesy, when they tell the straight story, the good news of God, as he has spoken his ultimate word to the world in his Son, Jesus Christ. The good news of God is Jesus Christ. The prophesying of the sons and daughters is to tell of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God makes that some message. The preacher may not be impressive, but the message is. The preacher doesn't count. The Spirit of God does. The Spirit of the Lord, the one he pours out upon all flesh, produces prophecy to touch the lives of people, to change them, to turn them around, to bring them back to God, and to set them on the road to life. The Spirit is speaking today through sons and daughters, telling people, confess your sins and turn to God. That message acquires power when it is spoken by someone who is moved by faith in Jesus Christ, by his redemption of the world, by his atonement for sin, by his love, to invite people to turn to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That power is the power of God's Spirit. It takes that simple message to turn from your sins to God. Usually we think of the sins of others. We talk about sin, but it's always the sin of somebody else. A lot of pious people are very strong against sin, the sins of others. You can always tell the one who has been moved by the Spirit of God. He confesses his own sins, and he confesses his faith in Jesus Christ. It's one sinner talking to another. That's quite different from the usual conceptions of prophecy, where one person is talking down to another. God is speaking that way in prophecy today, through sons and daughters. Some of the greatest examples of faith in Christ I have seen were in young people. They have a heart for the poor, very often more than do their elders. They talk and they act. Their actions sometimes speak louder than their words. The young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. It's happening all the time. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in the world. Don't grieve the Spirit, said St. Paul. Don't use evil communication. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to. That will give them a blessing. Don't give the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, he's the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. That's strong talk from a real person. The Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't bug the Spirit. Don't put down the Spirit. Don't write off the witness of the Spirit just because somebody is young, young in age or young in faith. The Spirit picks his own. The prophet Joel said so. St. Peter said so. And the Lord said so. The life of the Spirit is faith and love all mixed up together. It's speech and action working together, depending on each other. The Word of God, as the apostles received it and proclaimed it, was always active and increasing. It was doing things, bringing to faith, moving to love. Not everybody, but somebody in every place. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The man then went on to talk about Jesus Christ and about him alone. You can read it for yourself in the second chapter of Acts. It's a wonderful talk about Jesus Christ to people for whom these events were still fresh in their memories. The Spirit makes them fresh for us today. It's just as if it happened yesterday that he spoke these words and did these things and died that death and was raised from the dead to be the Lord of life. It's not ancient history. It's happening all the time. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Spirit speaks in sons, your sons, and in daughters too, your daughters, who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. probably through you. If it wasn't through you, it was through someone else who prophesied as a son or daughter of God, moved by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to become a child of God. The Spirit of God brings the Word of God to life in people and through people. I know there are people who just picked up a Bible and came to know Jesus Christ that way. Maybe in a prison cell somewhere, sitting in a plane, or in the solitude of the woods, or in a crowd where some people wondered what that person was doing with that book. I know this happens. Most of the time, however, the Word of God comes, first of all, through the words, the prophecy, and the life, which is also prophecy, of people who know Jesus Christ, who trust Jesus Christ, and live the life of Christ. That's the way it happens most of the time. God pours out His Spirit on all flesh. Annie Johnson Flint wrote a poem, probably exaggerated somewhat, but still containing the truth of witness. "We are the only Bible the careless world will read," she said. "We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in word and deed. What if the line be crooked? What if the type be blurred? Because we are human, the line is always a little crooked, and the type is always a little blurred. But the Spirit of God takes care of that, too. The truth and the power are His. The prophecy is of Jesus Christ, clothed in our flesh. God is content to let His word be clothed in the same way, in our language and in our life. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, and I will speak in sons and daughters. To them the Lord says today, as He said to them then, he that hears you, hears me. Amen.